Okay, so I think maybe two of you don't know my story, so I'll just give you a little bit of that. I teach in a childcare center, and I've been kind of all over. I've taught 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds. I have a degree in partly in early childhood and partly in family studies, and so that is where my heart is. I love to teach. And I've been teaching in Bible school with my mom since probably, 13 or so. So, doing that a long time. So, my husband's saying louder, so I just feel like there's not very many people, but. Come in, come in.
You're sorry.
No worries.
It is. So, when we get up and get some pressure, we'll be extinct.
So, since being a teacher at Heart, I've done it a really long time, 11 years where by trade, and then even longer in teaching. And so that can cause burnout really easily if you let yourself. So I'll just start 5 or 6 years ago. I'm running in the door at 8:30. Class starts at 9. And you say, oh, you're early. But I hadn't studied at all. I ran in, read my material as fast as I could, looked online for a craft, ran to the supply room, got what I needed, and sat down, and it was class time. Was my heart in it? No. I'm staring at these children, first and second grade kids, and I'm thinking, they don't want to be here either. I mean, they look tired. They look like my parents made me come. And I get through class and everything, and I just break down crying because this is not me. It's not me. And I think of the verse in James 3:1, that talks about not many of you should be teachers because you'll be judged more harshly. I should have been judged. I wasn't doing what I should have been doing. And at the time, I had just been asked to be supervisor over the 1st through 5th grade. And I kept it the same because, well, it's always been the same, right? This is how we do things. They give you, where I was at, they would give you the verse and the story you were supposed to do, and then you were supposed to run with it. Where I had come from previously, we had a workbook, and so you can, read it, or you can do your own thing, but there was at least a little bit more there. And so I knew that I didn't really want either of those things. So I started doing some research, and we're going to get back to that in a minute. But before I get to that, I want to talk about technology and how it has changed our brains. So I did some research on that, and there are 5 main ways that technology has changed our brains. And this is a study done by Tyler Jacobson, if you care. I cite my source there. We now have shorter attention spans. I don't have to tell you guys that. You already know that. And we're so much easier distracted. I don't know about you guys, but the second I get bored, I pull out my phone. I mean, it doesn't matter where I am. And it's sad to say, but even in this setting, I could pull it out and not even realize I've done it, So our attention spans are just so short. And actually, fun fact, they're shorter than a goldfish now. Goldfish attention span is 9 seconds, and they say that our average is 8. So I was like, wow, that's really sad. Really sad. Number 2, we've improved our ability to multitask. At least we think so. We can be on our phone and watch a TV show, right? We can be on our phone and talk to our friend, right? No, we're not retaining anything, because we're doing too many things, and you cannot multitask effectively. You think you can, but you can't. We've become tech addicts. Like I said, before, you pull it out, and you don't even realize you've done it. So I'll get my phone out because I'm going to look at the time, and then all of a sudden I'm on Facebook. How did that happen? We're addicts, and don't think it's any different for our kids, because they see us, and then they also want that device, right? Our face-to-face interactions have been undermined. So our kids, and we don't know how to be social anymore. Our kids are not learning social cues. Because when I teach 4-year-olds, they just don't understand it as much as they used to. You know, we need an emoji to know how we're feeling. It's crazy. But our social cues are not being read anymore because you're distracted. You're not paying attention to how, you know, somebody is looking or feeling. And the last one is we're becoming more forgetful. So I'm not sure that I can become even more forgetful than I already am, but having him, I think I have. So we're more forgetful because, you know, we can look it up. Our math teachers always said, you're not going to carry a calculator with you. You're going to have to learn how to do this. Well, I carry a calculator with me, right? So you don't, you know, you think, oh, do I remember what 7 times 5 is? You know, I mean, I can look that up. So it's really sad, but in general, we're more forgetful because we don't retain the information that we just looked up, you know? So anyways, this is affecting our kids way more than it affects us because looking around, most of you are like me and didn't grow up with a smartphone in our hand. But our kids, they're thinking differently, they're acting differently. In the 11 years I've taught, I don't even recognize the kids anymore. I've had to relearn things in how I teach in that world, so why wouldn't I relearn things in the Bible class setting? And that leads me to different learners. We're all different learners. Some of us learn visually. I'm a visual learner. I have to see things. I would love to be able to listen to the Bible on tape or in my car. I don't retain a single word. It's awful. But I have to read it. I have to be looking at it. And some people are auditory learners. They're the opposite. They need to hear it to retain it. And some of us are kinesthetic learners. My friend Becky over here is a kinesthetic learner, whether she knows it or not. She has to be doing something. She likes to teach Bible class rather than sit in Bible class so that she can be doing it, right? So that we just all are different. And I think being kinesthetic is a little bit of everyone. I think it helps to do things, but we're all different learners. And I have a little quiz over here if you guys want to take it with you, if you don't know what kind of learner you are. You can take that quiz and find out. And actually, that one only has 3. There's some studies that have 7. You can go online and take quizzes, too, to find out what kind of learners. But our kids are the same, right? They all learn differently. And so when I, back in that Bible class 5 or 6 years ago, I was doing my lesson the same every time, right? We read the Bible verse, then we did a craft because I'm a visual learner. I'm creative. That's what I want to do. And we maybe sang a song. We maybe said a prayer, you know, and that was it. I'd like to challenge you guys to think about your Bible classes and how they're going and make sure you're reaching each learner. Make sure you're bringing technology in. I just talked about how bad it is, and now I'm telling you to bring it in. But that's how we're going to reach our kids, right? Because that's how they're learning now. I just was talking to my mom a second ago, and in VBS, they watched a YouTube video over the Bible lesson, and she said, you know, nobody moved. They watched it. You know, I wasn't going, no, listen, you know, right? Attention, you know. They were watching it, and they got something out of it that way. So we have to bring that stuff in. So I have on your, behind your paper, the first paper we're going to get to in a minute, I should have put that after. But I have moved through the Bible, and that reaches all learners. It's a way to chronologically go through the Bible and memorize it. And so you do hand motions, and I was going to make you guys stand up and do this with me if you're falling asleep, but it looks like you're all okay. So it has, in italics, it has what you do. And so when you start with creation, you do creation. And Adam and Eve, and you eat an apple. And so you're reaching the kinesthetic people. You're saying it out loud. And visually, I like to do it in a circle so all the kids can see each other doing it. And the kids in our classes have learned the Bible all the way through. You know, they know exactly what happens at what time. And it's really neat to see. So I added that. I got that from Memorial Road. The lady was nice enough to send it to me. And I wanted to share that. I hope that's okay with her because she said she didn't even know where she got it. So I was like, well, it's okay then. We'll just share it. But that's something to add. You know, when you're standing up, you're looking at each other, they are engaging that way, and they're not just having to sit there. So so we'll get to our first paper there on why this is my reasons why we should refresh. And refresh, the word means to give new strength or energy to. New strength or energy to. That just makes me excited. So, come in, come in. So for refreshing, we're giving new strength or energy. I'm just going to keep saying it because I like it. Sitting in that class years ago, I didn't have energy. I didn't have strength. I didn't want to be there. Obviously, I didn't even go over the lesson, you know, before that. And I'm embarrassed to have to say that, but I think we all get to that point when we've done something for so long, you can just get jaded, right? And so to give new strength or energy to, you have to look at what you're doing, right? And really step back and see, is this being effective? Does it have energy? So my first point is we need to refresh our teaching. If you don't care, they don't care. Kids, more than anyone, can, even with technology, they can still read whether you care or not. And they can tell if you are excited to be there. They can tell if you're excited about the material. Let me tell you about Noah and how cool the story is. You know, that makes you want to listen to it. Get your Bibles out. We're going to look at Noah. You know, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go home. So, and they don't have that option. A lot of them are there, you know. So we've got to refresh our teaching. And that comes with, and that's not something that you have to do that individually, is what I'm saying. You know, it's not a... When I refreshed our program at Southwest, it wasn't, not everybody needed that, as far as a lot of the teachers still had zeal, but everybody needed to start again as far as the material. Does that make sense? So I was, some people were like me, but I still feel like some of the teachers had the zeal that I needed to have again. And so, not to call everybody out there. Number two is refresh your expectations. So this goes along with the technology thing and the learners. Kids can learn way more than we give them credit. And even now, like, especially now with technology, it's like they can get information so much faster than we did. You'd ask your mom, you know, what does this word mean? Go look it up in the dictionary, you know, and like it's like 2 seconds and they've looked it up. You're like, how did you know what that word meant? Well, I just looked it up, you know. So they're getting this information so much faster than we did, and so we have got to get deep into the Bible with these kids and not just go tell them about Noah, but tell them why that applies to us, you know. Go deeper with your stories, because they're not stories, they really happened, and they have meaning in our lives, and they can learn that too. So I think sometimes we're like, oh, they're kids, they're not going to understand this, because there's some deep stuff in the Bible that they can understand. It's harder for us, but we need to go there. Number three, refresh your church involvement, and this one is my favorite. The kids are the church of the future, but they're not just the church of the future. They're the church of now. They're right there with us. They're our family too, and we've got to get them involved, because if you don't get them involved at the beginning, they're not going to be involved later. And some of them have parents to help them get involved. I was blessed to have parents that had us in the door 30 minutes before it started and 30 minutes after, and we were at the activities, and we were doing things. We were involved in the church, but not everybody has parents that do that. So let's do it in our Bible class. Who's to say we can't? Let's, on a Wednesday night, bake cookies. And, you know, that's a fellowship time. It may not be, you may not think, well, that's not a Bible story at all. But let's bake cookies, and let's go hand them to the widows and the widowers. Let's, you know, take them to them. Give them a hug, give them these cookies, and that's going to make their day, and that's going to show them kindness and show that we're a family and we're involved. I remember in fifth grade, my Bible school teacher, Miss Linda, would take us to Tipton Children's Home, if you guys know about that children's home, she would let us pick out a child, just by name, and it had their age, and we would get to go pick out a Christmas gift for them, and then take it to them, and they got to open it, and then we got to play with the kids there, and I still remember the little girl's face. And I don't remember a lot, but that was fifth grade, and I still remember that. I remember playing on the playground with them, and those kind of experiences, that's what the church is about. So I'm getting emotional, but you know, that was an experience that I will never forget, and we need to give that to our kids too, right? So, sorry. So, now that I've given you all this information as fast as I can, let's talk about how. How do we do this? So, when I decided to change, I was lucky enough to be in charge. And so I did research. Start to Finish has a really good children's curriculum. I looked at that. I looked at other churches to see what they were doing in our brotherhood. There's all kinds of things online, you know, some good, some bad. But I researched to find what is going to reach the kids. And so what reached our kids may or may not reach yours. Because I don't know the size of your congregation. I don't know all the details. But I do know that just doing something may be all you need to do. And that, you know, something different than what you have been doing. So I researched, and I found a rotation model is what I like the best. And I've only seen that work in VBS, and it was all in one setting, right? So in that 1 hour, you would go from room to room to room to room, and that's how they rotated. Well, in this rotation model that I found, it was 6 weeks of the same story, but you rotated each week to a different class. So 1 week, we're all doing Noah, because I keep using Noah. I'm going to use him again. We're all doing the story of Noah. But in each class, they learned it a different way for 6 weeks. Now, it takes 4 years to get through this program, but that's how long I have these kids, right? First through fifth grade. So we get all the way through it. But it was just so important to me to reach each person, you know, and how they learned, and the repetition. That's how we learn, right? So if you go through the entire Bible, by the time you get back to Genesis, they've kind of forgotten, you know? But if you do 6 weeks, it's like, it makes an impression, you know? So I really liked this model that I had seen, and I decided that's what we were going to do. And so after I researched it, I recruited dreamers. So all the people that cared about this program, I said, hey, can we have a meeting? Can we go talk? And I brought this material to them, you know, this rotation model. What do you think? Do you think it'll work? You know, so don't do it alone. If you are in charge, you know, round up everybody you have. But I chose like 3 or 4 people, and then we talked about it. And then I took the entire group of teachers that I had to look at this rotation model to see it, so they could see it working. And then it just exploded. I mean, I had a guy who was good at art, and he made a logo for us. And I had, you know, people who helped me decorate, because what we did is it stays until you decide, okay, this room looks bad, we need to. But it's not a bulletin board system where you change it every week. It's this room looks like it's the game room, and it's Monopoly. And we changed all of the Monopoly things to be, it's a Bible Monopoly, essentially, and we put that all over the walls. And then in the geography room, we have a giant map the entire wall, you know, so that stays. It's not, and the teachers love that, because they're like, oh, I don't have to do a bulletin board. It's like a relief, you know. And so it does need updating every once in a while, but that's not something, I don't want you to have to worry about that. You're there to teach the kids, right? And so, me, I love bulletin boards, and I would do them every week, but you know, it takes time, it takes money. I want them to study. I want them to be zealous to be there. I don't want them to have to worry about that stuff, you know. So that was really neat to me. How? So I recruited people, and I made a goal. So I wanted in 3 months for all this to happen, to be totally changed. That was ridiculous. It took six. But, you know, start in anything, you're more successful if you have small goals. And then, you know, once you reach that goal, you can do a bigger goal. So it was like, okay, in 3 months I had it, had the curriculum where I wanted it. And then in the next 3 months I had decorations and teachers, and I had to do a lot of training because, you know, we didn't do anything like this. It was where you, if you were the first and second grade teacher, you were the first and second grade teacher until you quit or you died. And so burnout was happening because they weren't getting breaks. And we have a congregation of 400 or more. This shouldn't be happening. We should have teachers, you know. So I'm kind of all over the place, I realize. I hope it's making sense. But this rotation model, it allows the kids to not have to go to the same classroom every week too, which they really like that. And we have these flags that they are in a color. They're always the blue group. Okay, if you're in first and second grade, you're the blue group. So they see where their flag is in the classroom, and they go, oh, I'm in this room. You know, oh, yes, I'm in games or whatever it is. But they catch on super quick, and they know right where to go. And then I have somebody stand up for visitors, you know, that come in so they know where to go and that kind of thing. But they really do, like, it's like, oh, I don't have to sit in that same room in the same seat, you know, because you get in this routine. Even the kids, you know, they're in the same seat, the same class. So it's kind of neat for them to move around, I think. Now, I keep saying we do this, I do this, but I have taken a break now that I've had my son, and, well, he's out there now. somebody else is in charge, and in fact, it's going better because I was the only one in charge, and they've gotten several different people in charge. So one person's in charge of the curriculum, one person's in charge of finding teachers, and so I think it's going to work out better than when I did it because it was a second job. But it's not about what you do, it's that you make sure what you're doing is working. So I can tell you all about this rotation model, I can answer your questions, that may not be for you. You just need to make sure that we aren't doing the same thing over and over again expecting different results. Because that's insanity, right? It's not going to work. These kids are changing probably by the year, because that's how fast technology, you know, if you've got a 2-year-old computer, it's really 8 years old, because that's how fast it's changed. So I think our kids are changing almost as fast. And so whatever you decide to do, or if you think everything's fine, just make sure you're looking at yourself and you're looking at your program. There's ways you can assess kids without letting them know. Teachers give tests all the time and the kids don't know. And so even if you ask the parents, does your child come home talking about what they learned in Bible class? Do you know what we're studying right now? Because if they don't, then likely it's not working. Because if the kids are excited about it, if they go see a new movie, they come in and they're telling you everything, you're like, great, now I don't have to see it. You know, so if they're excited about something, they're going to be talking about it. So we've got to make sure that, not that I make it sound like it should be entertainment, and it shouldn't be, but the Bible and the lessons that are in there are so exciting. They're as exciting as a movie ever was. You know, this man came and died for us. Like, how much more exciting is it that we can go to heaven? But we've got to be able to relay that to kids and make them excited about it. And I think church involvement is a huge way to do that. Because that's why Jesus came, right? Because of love. And if we can show love to our kids and they can show it too, that's how they're going to grow up, right? Is to learn how to love. So, see what time it is. Okay, it's 2:30. So I can open up to questions, or I can go over more about the rotation model. I don't know, since there's so few in here, I just...
Question about rotation
model. Okay.
Is that loud?
Yes, that's perfect.
Well, I was kind of assuming teachers then stay in that one room. And
yes,
kind of
I'm so sorry. Yeah. So...
Whatever their thing is, right? But, and then for how long would they stay, or kind of what's the...
Well, I made a mistake. And I just had him teach 6 weeks. You should really keep it at a quarter for your sanity. So I would do 6 weeks, and they would teach. So we have a medium-sized congregation, but we're in one of those lulls where there's not that many first through fifth graders. There's a ton of babies. There's probably, I don't know. I think there's almost 8 in Davy's class. So we got a lot of babies, but we don't have a whole lot of first through fifth graders. So we've kind of had to, you have to make it fit your group. Say at Memorial Road, they have three classes for fifth graders. Okay, 3 classes for first grade. You know, like, whew. We have first and second together. And then we have third and fourth and fifth, I think is how I separated it. It may be different now. But I use colors so if they're a fifth grader and they're kind of on a first grade level, they can be in the blue group and they don't know. Does that make sense? So I didn't do it by first and second, third. I did it more of what fits them, because some of them need to be in a different group than what their age group is. So that's kind of why I did the colors. And there's different, you can do letters, you can do, I mean, any way to separate the groups. But if you want to keep it first and second, third and fourth, you can, it's easy enough. But, so the teacher stays in the classroom for 6 weeks. And they teach the same lesson 3 times in a row. So they have all 3 classes. If they're teaching storytelling, you're just, you know, that's, you're teaching the same lesson 3 times. And then I put geography with that because I just felt like it went. And so the next 3 weeks, they teach the same geography lesson 3 times. Okay, and so they're in the same class for 6 weeks, they teach 2 lessons. And then they're done. So the teachers love that. Well, then I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to find the next teachers after I just found teachers, you know. So do a quarter if you do this. Then we have an art and singing class. So the art would be 3 weeks and then singing for 3 weeks. And then games and visual is what I called it. Visual can be like anything that they can see. If you want to put a YouTube video on, if you want to do a act it out, act the story out. That's just, I just called it visual because it was like all encompassing. It's something they can see. That's all I tell the teachers, you know. So, so they rotate to each of those and they get the story 6 times.
So do they rotate, like would one group be in the teach class 1 week and then the
like they go 1 week they'll be in storytelling, the next week they'll be in art, and the next week they'll be in games, the next week they'll be in geography, the next week they'll be in, so they rotate to these different classes, but they stay in it the whole 45 minutes. Okay. So you have longer, you have an art project that can be on a canvas that the parents actually want to hang up instead of just like a little worksheet they throw in the trash, you know. So you make the art meaningful, right? So they and you teach while you do it. It's not just paint, we'll see you in 45 minutes, you know. So it's like a big project that you do. It's not just a little worksheet or something.
What are the rotations again?
What's that? Okay, storytelling, art, visual, which if you go to rotation.org, I'm sorry, I just squirrel, but rotation.org has all kinds of different ones you can choose from. Like if visual doesn't work out because it's too broad for you, you know, find a different one that does. Like there's a ton of different models that they have that can show you. So we do storytelling, art, visual, geography, singing, and games. So, and singing, I like that you can spend that long time. You're like, oh, you're going to sing for 45 minutes, but they get to learn new songs. Mm-hmm. So it's neat that you have the time to teach that instead of going through your lesson really fast so you can teach them a new song, or you didn't learn the song effectively because you didn't have enough time to do so. So.
Okay, is this the one Tuttle does?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, because I knew
yeah.
Okay.
We have 130 on Sunday morning, so our class is much smaller, so we just have two classes each Sunday. So we rotate faster. We're going to get through it in like 2 years instead of four because we have so many kids. But it is working so great at Tuttle that we have husband and wife couples. The man teaches. The kids love that. I don't know what it is about it, but
they listen so much better to a man. They do. It's insane.
And the wives are in there to help, you know, direct the kids.
And that helps in geography a lot because I don't think that way.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't know what direction we are right now.
Okay,
you were
being sexist.
Okay, I may be, but it's true. You can ask my mom. I couldn't get home because I didn't want to go to Lawton. I wanted to go to Tuttle. But Lawton is the same direction as Tuttle, just so you know. But that was when I was 16. I've gotten a little better. But geography is my favorite class, even though I'm so bad at it. But it just shows them it's real people, real times, real places. This actually happened. We don't talk about that enough, I don't think. And so they know that Abraham was a person and where he was at the time these things happened. It's really neat. So, yeah, I actually bought Memorial Road's curriculum, and I took it and made it a smaller scale. So they have all these classes, and I took it for three. We do three classes. And then my mom took it. Well, Tuttle took it. And they do two. So... it can work for, and there's another congregation, I want to say Woodrow, that does it as well. I was going to go visit, and I never got a chance. It was just timing in too far. We've done it for 5 years, and we're changing it a bit. I think that the curriculum wasn't as in-depth as the teachers wanted, and I said, okay, let's make it better. You know, we don't have to use the same. Now that we have it as a routine, you know, the kids know what they're doing, let's make it better. And so, and actually Memorial Road's done it for like 12 years, 13 years, and they've redone the whole thing. When my mom tried to buy it, she couldn't because they were redoing it. So, and you don't have to buy their curriculum. You can do it with what you already have established. It was easier to start over that way for us.
So is the rotations thing what you bought from Memorial Road, or was that just something that was on the rotations.org?
I chose the rotations.org, the ones that work for us. And Memorial Road has like a technology room where they have all these computers and they do it. They have a cooking room. Like it has a kitchen and tile floors and they cook. It's awesome, but we don't have that resource. We have to march all the way to the Fellowship Hall, which is really far away, and I found it's really disturbing for everyone. But I have done the cookies thing that I told you guys about, and it was awesome. And we even did it again and took them from the nursing home the next day, and that was really fun too. So,
how do you do the breakdowns? It's not my age.
I don't. Can.
I like that.
Tuttle doesn't my age. But we had some special needs kids that it would have really upset them had they known it wasn't the fifth grade class, so it was the green class.
Yeah.
You know, the yellow class, the blue class. So they had no idea, and they learned more because they were with the younger group.
Yeah. And the parents were on board with them. Mm-hmm.
I just made sure and discussed it, because if you just breeze by it, it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to discuss it. So... And if it didn't work, I had one that it didn't work to be with the younger kids, and so I moved them back up, and it worked better. Mm-hmm. So that way, it gave me the freedom, though, to not say this is the first and second grade class.
Right.
But.
And your elders teaching class too. That went great for both of ours.
I bet it did.
They got to see exactly what happens. And
yeah.
It was
and change is hard. I didn't even talk about that, but change is hard for everybody. I had my team of people, and then I had to really convince some people that it was going to be okay and that they could do it.
Did you lose teachers?
I lost two, but I think
two
I would have lost
bad.
Them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think if it stayed the same, they were
out anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did
yeah,
you
but
gain any?
I did.
Okay.
I gained several.
And young.
No.
Yeah.
There's some people who say
like
this is an easier way to teach.
Yeah.
And I feel like people that might not be so comfortable doing the Bible lesson part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Be like, oh, I can do the craft part.
Yeah,
or, you know,
yeah.
Something.
Definitely. And the games, like, that's a breeze. I had several men be like, well, I can do games with the kids, and they enjoyed that.
Several start out with Pollard's Bible Trek, and so training, reaching, and equipping kids is our...
Right, so it's a... Bible Trails at Southwest is what we call ours, and Journeyland is what they call theirs at.
A lot of our trek guides, we put them in as guides, because we help the people just by, and they become teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you done any kind of, like, assessment to see if the kids are learning better than they used to?
Well, I, like I said, I do it secretly.
Yeah.
But what really, like, I will just ask them, hey, what's the memory verse right now? You know, when they're going down the hallway, and then I'll just give them a sucker or something for telling it to me. Like, well, good job, you know, here's a sucker. But what really, like, was, like, this is working is I had a kid write down a question for our question and answers to the preacher. Like, the preacher was doing question and answer tonight, you know, and you submit your questions. And we were talking about Noah, and he submitted a question. And I thought... thinking about this.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, I learned that in Bible class, but it was, you know, it was a kid question, why, but it was also a question I would like to know the answer to. Why wouldn't God just kill Satan? Like, well, yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? So, yeah, it's like, why, if God's so powerful, why is there evil in the world? Why can't he just kill Satan? You know, and so, the preacher wasn't real excited to answer that question. But, you know, we were talking about it, and he submitted. And so it was like, hey, he's thinking about it. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. And that moved through the Bible. Like, it's just like, you know, once they learn the 12 apostles or they learn the books of the Bible, it's just really cool. Their parents are so impressed that they know it chronologically. Now, I was in there long enough to get through the Old Testament. I don't know if it continued. You know, I hope it did, but... That's the kind of stuff they do before class starts, too, so that you're not sitting down doing worksheets, but you're playing games or you're doing Move Through the Bible or something, you know, interactive. And so, because those attention spans are so, so fast. So, but, oh, I hope I didn't confuse you guys. I hope I gave you some.
You did good.
Yeah, you did good. Good. We're about, like, 2 minutes so done, right?
Yeah, you can.
Well, I will say that change is hard, and we did have some people mostly afraid, you know, and so once, I mean, I walked it, let's go to the classroom, I'm going to teach the class to nobody but you, show you how to do this, and they were like, oh, that's it, you know, and then I had some, why don't you just sit in the class and see how it goes, and then they were on board. So it's just, you know, when you sit down and you do just the Bible story and you have the flannel graph and, you know, they're just there. They're not learning if you're doing the same thing. Now, flannel graph isn't bad. They like to play with it and tell the story themselves. I like that idea, you know, that kind of thing, but make it different, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So, at Memorial Road, they even have a class where they watch, like, clips from movies that they've made, like, about the Bible. Why can't I think of an example? Like, I don't know. What's the one with Moses? Well, the movie, like, the Ten Commandments. Okay, so they play a part that's not scriptural, and they say, do you see something that doesn't fit? And I was like, that's so cool, and I never could, I'm just not good with technology, I never could do that. But that's something that, you know, is everything you see real? Mm-hmm. With technology, we've got to discuss that, because you can find anything you want on the internet, whether it's true or not. So, you know, those kind of things, just think outside the box. So, I think that's all I have. Just don't be afraid of change. It's okay.
At Vacation Bible School, we did Baal, the worshippers, and Elijah, and there's actually a YouTube video, I just used part of it, but it is real people, they're speaking Hebrew, and it is the lesson, and the kids had to read the closed caption. I said, you realize they weren't speaking English to each other. This is what the landscape looked like. I mean, it was a very
right.
good good presentation to make them think.
They think it looks like this. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think that really did stick with them. It happened, but this is what it would have looked like.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you, guys. And you can come talk to me about that rotation model if you want or anything like that. And good luck.
We're seeing it as we travel.